In the current Republican playbook, there are only so many maneuvers you can turn to, especially with facts being off limits. In responding to swine flu, however, the Republican Party's chosen talking heads have opted for an oldie but a goodie, making scapegoats out of Mexicans. Republican Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann said she found it, quote, interesting that the last swine flu outbreak was in 1976 under another Democratic president, Jimmy Carter, one who took office in 1977. But Republican commentators, from the radio clowns to the respected journalists at Fixed News, have resurrected the shrewd political tactic that served them so well last year, of using our loose border controls with Mexico to terrify Americans. Exactly how does that apply, though, to the people who the Centers for Disease Control confirmed actually carried the swine flu from Mexico to the U.S., a group of Catholic school students from New York City who spent spring break in Cancun? Uncontrolled Catholic immigration? Open borders for private school kids are reckless? Anyway, unswayed by the facts, the Republican echo chamber tried to stir the American melting pot with its classic recipe of hate and fear.
You thought that we had an immigration problem. Well, now they might actually want to prevent the sick people from crossing over the border.
Chaos in Mexico, from earthquakes to swine flu. Will it mean more illegals heading for the U.S.?
Does anybody wish maybe we could control the border just a little bit at this point?
And everybody's emailing going, the illegals are bringing it across the border.
Tonight, swine flu spreads from Mexico to the United States. Is this the latest border crisis?
The U.S. is not currently testing travelers from Mexico, but customs officials are wearing protective clothing.
Illegal aliens are carriers of the new strain of human swine avian flu from Mexico. Is this a terrorist attack?
Some, though, say the solution is to close the border.
Now, talk that we should even close the border? If this is so important, why haven't we closed the border?
There's the bioterrorism angle. What better way to sneak a virus in this country than to give it to Mexicans?
We're people gonna rise up and take what's there. Cause finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about a revolution.
This week in Radical History for the week starting May 11th. I'm traveling this week, so this week's show is an abridged version of what you've come to know and love. May 19th of next week, I'll be back in Glee Glee Studios ready to kick it. Until then, enjoy some radical history. But first, this PSA from 1976.
Power. Come on. Yo, check this out, man.
I don't need another flu shot. I had a flu shot last year.
A swine flu epidemic may be coming.
Swine flu shot? Well, I don't know. I've been thinking about it.
It could make you very sick.
Swine flu? Man, I'm too fast for that to catch me.
You'll want to be protected.
I'm the healthiest 55-year-old you've ever seen. Hey, I play golf every weekend.
Get a shot of protection. The swine flu shot.
The 1976 flu shot killed 10 times as many people getting the vaccine as those who got the flu. Stay informed by checking out some radical thoughts on radical emergency preparedness by visiting aftershockaction.org. An alternative to government propaganda. That's aftershockaction.org. Now, back to the show.
There is something going on in the ether.
The kids are now moving back into the street.
For every Martin they cut down, there must be 100 Martins to step into his shoes.
For the date, May 11th, 1846, U.S. proclaims Manifest Destiny as U.S. takes half of Mexico. Also on May 11th, 1886, Milwaukee newspaper runs articles and ads stating that no polls need apply, as that was that year's anti-immigration propaganda at the time. Also on May 11th, 1962, FBI names Martin Luther King Jr. as a communist threat and puts him on a list to be arrested in case of emergencies. You always got to have a backup plan, I guess. Also on May 11th, 1967, though many remember Kent State massacre, few remember that Jackson State cops rioted against anti-war protesters, killing one student and wounding many as they fired into the crowd. Also on May 11, 2002, over 50,000 Jews protest the Israeli occupation of the West Bank and Gaza Strip. On May 12, 1927, Nicaragua. Sandino and his guerrillas decide to continue the fight until they defeat the invading U.S. Marines. A Sandino manifesto asserts, "It is better to be killed as a rebel than to live as a slave." May 13, 1771, Robert Owen, one of the founders of socialism, is born. A forerunner to Marx, Owen once famously said about religion, "It makes mankind a weak, imbecile animal, a furious bigot and fanatic, or a miserable hypocrite. Also on May 13, 1794, Tom the Tinker helps to organize the Whiskey Rebellion, fighting against the federal taxation of small, but not the large, distilleries. George Washington organized a 12,000-plus man army to march into Pennsylvania. I guess it was okay for Washington to force taxes on others. Just not the other guy. On May 13, 1842, Thomas Dorr's People's Government attempts to seize power in Rhode Island, eventually put down by the state militia. Dorr would eventually be sentenced to life in solitary confinement. On May 13, 1846, U.S. Congress declares war on Mexico. The saying of the day was, "Poor Mexico, so far from God, so close to America." As we take what was to become California, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas under pressure from the South to turn them into slave-owning states. God bless us all. On May 13, 1954, Marshall Islanders plead to end the H-bomb testing in their area and all the nuclear fallout from it. More anti-American commies, I'm sure. May 13, 1960, the House Un-American Activities Committee meets as students hold sit-in across the country against red baiting. On this date, May 14, 1856, private American investor William Walker is officially recognized by U.S. President Franklin Pierce as the pro-slavery dictator of Nicaragua after Walker raises and marches a private army into the country. Later, the people depose him. On May 14, 1905, the Asiatic Exclusion League is formed, making the official start to the anti-Japanese movement, the Japanese being the Mexicans' anti-immigration movement of their day. Also on May 14, 1940, anarchist and feminist Emma Goldman dies in Canada while raising money for the anti-Franco whose fascist forces took over Spain. Among many writings of Emma, she famously once said about the American political system, "If voting ever really changed anything, they would have made it illegal." Another famous quote of hers is, "If I can't dance, I don't want to be a part of your revolution." Her grave can be found in Chicago and is a kind of pilgrimage site for many anarchists around the world to visit. Again, Red Emma dies May 14, 1940 in Canada. On May 14, 1960, police beat and drag over 200 protesters at a House Un-American Activities hearing in San Francisco. Police beatings being obviously very American. Also on May 4, 1968, students, followed by many laborers and artists, start strike to take over French government. By the end of the month, over 10 million Frenchmen are involved. Similar demonstrations would spread to Berlin, Rome, Madrid, and other large cities around the world. Capitalists shake in their fur-lined boots. Also on May 4th, 1970, before Kent State, there was Jackson State, where the government shot in the crowd, killing students at anti-war demonstration. However, at Jackson State, the two students were black, therefore not deserving of a pop song like Four Dead in Ohio. On May 5th, 1834, against a Supreme Court ruling, Cherokee Indians forced march out of their lands, which had become known as the Trail of Tears. Out of the 12,000 forced marched, almost half died along the way. This mass killing by the U.S. government would spur on the Seminole tribe's resistance in Florida. Also on May 15, 1855, America's first great poet, Walt Whitman, registers the first great book of poetry, Leaves of Grass. Also May 15, 1971, Paris Commune takes over national government seat for 2 months. The National Guard is formed by former army soldiers and laborers to fight against the German-backed forces. Also on May 15, 1935, National Labor Relations Act passed, allowing workers the right to organize in collective bargaining. Also on May 15, 1947, House passes $400 million funding to fight communism, and the first members of the general public start naming names at the House Un-American Activities hearings held in Washington, D.C. Also on May 15, 1964, U.S. starts mass bombing of Laos, effectively destroying this small country. Also on May 15, 1968, students fight German police as new emergency laws are passed to stop public from demonstrating. Also on that date, 1969, then-Governor Ronald Reagan orders raids on the hippies camping in the People's Park. Also on that date, 1970, several million students hold strikes against the war around the nation. Also on May 15, 1971, several thousand Hopi Indians forced to relocate as strip mining companies take over their lands. Also on May 15, 1989, government records release show that Noral Noriega was the, quote, CIA man, unquote, in Panama. Years later, was arrested by U.S. forces and convicted. Can you say Saddam Hussein? On May 16, 1913, first woman's anti-slavery convention is held. Also on May 16, 1871, yes, that's right, 1871, U.S. invades Korea to force open trade routes. He is kicked out a month later. Well, we'll be back again and again. Also on May 16, 1904, U.S. deports anarchist John Turner. The Supreme Court rules that the U.S. has the right to deport anyone, even philosophical anarchists, if they so choose. Yep, the land of the free, all right. Also, May 16, 1918, President Wilson signs into law the Sedition Act, making it illegal to obstruct, enlist, or speak against war materials, the American government, etc., etc. Ah, more land of the free stuff. Also on May 16, 1933, the first blacklist of unacceptable books is created in Nazi Germany. Also on May 16, 1943, we saw the Wausau-Poland ghetto uprising. 53,000 would die eventually. Now it's being fought in the ghettos of Palestine. Now the victims become the victimizers. And it goes on and on and on. That's all the time we got for this week's This Week in Radical History. For more interesting and fun radical facts, check out the People's Calendar by Googling The Daily Bleed. More information also came from the Slingshot Organizer, Google Slingshot Collective for more information. From the Glee Studios, and until next week, as always, I'm yours in a struggle, Mike Cannon.